Our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 36. You'll find that on page 1023, I think, in the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "Well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." "You have judged correctly," said Jesus. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
This morning I want to tell you about Tony. Tony was a member of one of my churches. Well, in fact, he was a member of two of them because he moved towns at one stage. Tony came regularly to church. Well, he was a bit spasmodic as I reflect on it. He came to other things that we ran. And one day I decided with another member of the church to visit Tony. He told me that he wasn't a Christian. So I thought I'll go along and chat to Tony and find out what the story is. Because he came, his wife came, and when I said to him that night, "Tony, tell me a little bit about your spiritual journey, where you're up to," and he said, "Well, I'm not a Christian because I'm not good enough to be a Christian." I explained to him that he probably was closer to being a Christian than many others who thought they were good enough without going to church. But we talked about the fact that becoming a Christian was in fact about being sorry for not being good enough and then accepting God's free pardon and gift of eternal life. That it really didn't depend on how good Tony was, but how good God was. He understood what I was saying. And I'm thrilled to say that that night when I said, "Is there any reason why we can't pray together tonight for you to accept Jesus as your Saviour and become a Christian, is there any reason why we can't do that tonight? He said no. So we prayed together, and that night, Tony became a Christian. It reminded me of the story that we read earlier from Luke 7 about a woman who also would have thought she was not good enough for God. The scene was a dinner party that Simon the Pharisee was having. Jesus was a guest. Why, we're not told. Was Simon a secret admirer of Jesus? Was he sizing Jesus up? Because Jesus, all the talk about this new teacher. Was he planning to trap him? We're not told, so obviously Luke didn't think it was all that important for us to know. Simon's home probably was one of those that had an open courtyard in the middle, and the meal would have been had in the middle of the courtyard, and villagers and people could wander by. They could see what was going on. They could come in and maybe get some leftover scraps. But people often were like that in the villages. They were small villages. They didn't have big 6-foot fences like we erect these days. And people were able to see that Jesus was a guest of Simon at dinner that night. There he was with his guests, reclining and eating. When a woman who is euphemistically described as one who'd lived a sinful life, we might use a more plain word, was unable to contain herself. She comes over to Jesus, stands behind him, and bursts into tears. She begins crying uncontrollably, her tears falling on his feet. She unbraids her hair, kneels down, and wipes his feet with her hair, kisses his feet, and then, taking some perfume from the little alabaster jar that she would have had round her neck, as was the custom, takes some of her precious perfume and pours it on Jesus' feet, all the time sobbing quietly. Well, Simon has been watching what's happening at his dinner party, trying to keep calm. He thinks to himself, this guy is no prophet. Some claim him to be a prophet, but if he were a prophet, he would know who this woman is. He would know what her background is. And he certainly would not want her polluting touch rendering him unclean anywhere upon him. No way. So he can't be the prophet that people are claiming him to be. However, Jesus is fully aware of what's going on in Simon's mind. He says to him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he replied. Well, said Jesus, two men owed money to a moneylender. One owed 500 denarii and the other owed only 50. The lender cancelled both debts. Which one, Simon, he said, do you suppose would love the moneylender the more? Well, said Simon, the one, I suppose, who was forgiven the larger debt. Correct, said Jesus. See this woman? I came to your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She wet my feet with her tears. You gave me no kiss of greeting. She has not stopped kissing my feet. You gave me no oil for my head. She has poured her perfume on my feet. Therefore, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus looked at the woman and said, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." What do you suppose are the lessons we are meant to learn here? Let me ask you, was this woman good enough for God? No. Did she think she was good enough for God? No. If she perhaps turned over a new leaf, would she be ever good enough for God? No. She was a child of grace. Her salvation had nothing to do with how good she was. Her salvation was a gift of love from a merciful and loving God. Nowhere is that stated more clearly than in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, which reads, "For it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. This is not of you, not at all of you. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast." That day, that sinful woman expressed sorrow for her many sins and was forgiven the entire lot of them. This then welled up into her expression of grateful love to Jesus. You see, this is where we see the difference between the cold, religious attitude and performance of Simon, who would have thought himself to be religious, and the warm love of a forgiven sinner. Have you ever noticed the questions that Jesus asked Peter when he was forgiving Peter? This is after Easter. Remember, Simon had denied him three times. They're now on the beach having breakfast. Jesus put some questions to Peter. What were those questions? He didn't say, "Will you now observe all the religious formalities pertaining to your faith, so help you God?" He did not ask that. He did not say, "Simon, will you try harder to be good from now on? You can do it. Just try and be a better person. Will you be a good man from now on?" No. The question he asked him was this: "Simon, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" What he wants from Simon is his love. See, Simon the Pharisee, religious, dismissive and doubting of Jesus, the woman, loving and believing in Jesus. Simon, never seeing the need for forgiveness. The woman, saved by her faith. Simon, with the cold heart of religious observance. The woman, with the warm heart of a loving relationship with her Saviour Jesus, who had forgiven her. Let me ask you what Jesus asked Simon. Do you love Jesus? That's the question we need to answer. Do you love Jesus? He has offered you and me this wonderful gift, this amazing gift of salvation. God never says and never asks you or me, "Are you good enough?" He will never ever ask anybody that question. Are you good enough? The question will be, do we love Jesus? Are we aware of the fact that we are not good enough and that we need a Saviour and God has provided that Saviour? And will we come in repentance before him and find forgiveness and grace and renewal and give our lives in loving submission to the Master? I want you to picture another banquet table This time it's not Simon's. It's God's banquet table, a heavenly banquet table. Around this table are seated all sorts of people who weren't good enough. Who is going to be there? Matthew and Zacchaeus, the tax collectors, who made a business of ripping people off. They'll be there. The woman Jesus met at the well, who had five different men, she'll be there. The woman caught in adultery, forgiven by Jesus, she'll be there. The thief who was on the cross that day, he'll be there. David from the Old Testament, the adulterer and murderer, he'll be there. John Newton, the slave trader. And who could catalogue the sins of John Newton? In his own words, he described himself as a wretch. He'll be there. Can you imagine the banquet table of God? It's made up of all these people who will never be good enough and who are not good enough. You'll be there, I trust. I'll be there, I trust. Now, I know that I'm not good enough. I can't vouch for you, but I know that I won't be good enough to be there under my own effort. All recipients of God's grace, all people accepted by the Master, all people changed by the Master. So the question is not, I'm not good enough. Let me finish with a story about how God can work in our lives. Just over 100 years ago, a group of Scottish fishermen were sitting in a seaside pub trading fishing stories. One of the men gestured widely, depicting the size of the fish that got away, and he knocked flying the serving maid's tray of teacups, sending the teapot flying into the whitewashed wall of the pub, where its contents left a whole lot of brown, tea-stained splotches on the wall. The innkeeper surveyed the wall with some horror and sighed, "I'll have to have the whole wall repainted." "Perhaps not," offered a stranger. "Let me work with it." Having nothing to lose, the innkeeper said, "Okay." This stranger then pulled out some pencils, some brushes, some linseed oil, and some pigments, and began sketching and dabbing around the tea stains. In time, an image of a large stag appeared with a great rack of antlers on the wall. The man inscribed his signature at the bottom, paid for his meal, and left. His name was Sir Edwin Landseer, who was a famous painter of wildlife. And in his hands, a mistake became a masterpiece. God does that with us. He takes our blotchy kind of lives, and in God's hands, they become masterpieces, and he renders them expressions of his love. But God does that. On our own, we will never be good enough. How would I answer somebody that said to me, "I'm just not good enough to be a Christian"? Well, I would answer the way I answered Tony. I would say, "Well, you're halfway there because you're not a proud person who thinks, or you're already good enough. Because you'll never be good enough. Our salvation can never be earned. We can only accept God's offer of pardon and salvation in and through his Son." So let me encourage you and let me challenge you, if you're a person who thinks you're not good enough, let me warm your heart this morning by saying we're all in that boat. The only way we can come is on our knees saying thank you. And I would be very careful of doing a Simon and judging that someone else would never be a recipient of God's grace. That's a great act of pride as well, isn't it? You ever tempted to look around at certain people in your acquaintance or people you see in the street or on television or wherever you see them and say, well, that person would never be a Christian? Only God knows. And when you see what God can do with people and when you see what he can do with you, you know that nobody, in our view, should be outside of thinking these people can be recipients of God's love. What would you say to a person who thought they were not good enough? I would say, well, this is a good start. Let's talk about this from here. And let's hear about the God who doesn't care whether we're good enough. He's the God that can take our lives, offer salvation, and make something of them. Let me pray for a moment. Father, we thank you again for your amazing grace. Your amazing grace that has come to us through Christ. That has come to all those people throughout the years whose lives were a mess. They'd mucked them up. But you, as the master painter, were able to take them, offer those people salvation and offer them new life in Christ. Oh, Father, we thank you this morning for that in Jesus' name. Amen.